Well, good morning, everyone. Don't know if I can name all the visitors, so I'll just say good morning to all of you and thank you for coming. Surprised to see Justin and Denise for sure. Didn't have a clue they were coming, but yeah, everybody seems a little close here. I don't know if any of you, you guys all see this rod here. Jerry and Marlon, they decided they was going to keep a pretty stiff rod on the church, so they set this thing up front, but I bet they didn't realize they was going to be sitting this close to me today. No, that Matt had a message on it, and he just left it here. That's just a... But anyways, thought I had in mind what I was going to share about today for a couple weeks. And in the middle of last week, it hit me, and I had to change it. I had to totally change my course. So, but what I want to share on here, before I start sharing, I guess I want everyone to know that I have no ill feelings against where we come from, the culture we come from. I loved it, but it was just what we was brought up in. Just to say a little bit, you know, we were brought up that you couldn't know you were saved. It was kind of a sour word. But for some reason, they could tell you if you was going to go to hell or not, if you didn't follow the rules of the church, basically, in short. But anyways, through that, it seemed like, anyways, to me, and to, you know, I can be corrected if I'm wrong, it seemed like we were taught the values of God without knowing if we were one of his children or not. We were taught the Ten Commandments. You should not, you know, we were taught them. And I believe that what I'm going to share on is in Matthew 5. In a sense, we were taught to live that. Now, what I come up with on this study is there's a casual way, I believe, you can correct me again after church here if I'm wrong, but there's a casual way to live the Christian life, possibly, or there's a true way. The reason I'm saying that for is, well, let's just turn to Matthew 5, and we'll read from verse 1 to verse 11. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The reason I said that about a casual way is I'd done a little bit of a word study on 3 through 11. I looked up the word poor in spirit in the Webster dictionary. And then I looked it up in the Strong's. And I'm gonna read through a little bit of that stuff. Let's see, Matthew. Oh, I was in the wrong spot. Okay, the dictionary meaning for the word poor is the lack of enough money to meet basic needs or a substandard level of quality. The biblical meaning of the word poor, which comes from the Strong's, is poor, afflicted, humble, or lowly. It signifies someone who is humble, oppressed, or bowed down by circumstances and relies solely upon God for deliverance. And then the reference to that verse was Isaiah 61, 2 and 3. The reference to that verse was Matthew 25, 34. Then shall the king say unto them on its right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And then Isaiah 57, 15 says, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in high and holy places with him, so that it is of a contrite and humble A contrite and holy place with him, so that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revile the spirit of the humble and to revile the hearts of the contrite ones. And then I went to the next verse, and it says, Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And the biblical or the dictionary meaning of mourn means to feel or oppress deep sorrow or grief. It most commonly refers to the emotional and outward process of grieving a loss, such as the death of a loved one. Biblical meaning of mourn would be sorrow over personal sin, spiritual bankruptcy, and the brokenness of the world. True to mourning lead to repentance and brings God's comfort. Spiritual grief over sin is a brokenness and lament that comes from recognizing our own failures and the realization that our sin separates us from God. The promise of comfort, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The comfort promise literally means to have one called alongside you. When a person expresses this deep godly sorrow over sin, God draws near to heal, forgive, and restore it. The translation from realizing your own inadequacy to rely entirely on the grace of God. Okay, and then the reference to that was Isaiah 61, 2 and 3. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vintage of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called dressed of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Okay, then I went to the next verse. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The biblical meaning, the Strong's meaning of meek, is far from implying weakness. The biblical definition is strength under control, a conscious, humble submission to God's will rather than asserting your own power under restraint. It describes someone who has immense strength or authority but exercises control, choosing not to use it for self advancement or to harm others. Teachable and submissive figures like Moses, who famously stood up to Pharaoh but yielded completely to God, are described with this term. In the Webster dictionary meaning of the word meek, having or showing a gentle nature, putting up with wrongs or difficulties patiently and without complaint, lacking spirit or self-assurance. I forgot I was going to tell you as I was going through here. There was one of these blessed beatitudes that the Webster Dictionary didn't have a meaning for. It just point blank said there's no meaning for it in the Webster Dictionary. And while we're going down through here, if any of you can figure out which one it is, don't be scared to say it. Okay, and then I stayed there in 5 for a little bit longer, I looked up another word other than meek. I looked up inherit. And the biblical meaning of inherit is it's rarely just about property or wealth passed down after someone dies. Instead, it is a rich relational language describing eternal life, God's kingdom, and a secure identity. It signifies a permanent rightful belonging to God's family. The promised land, the ultimate earthly inheritance, was the land of Canaan, which represented the fulfillment of God's covenant with Abraham. It was a sign of God's faithfulness and not just a physical asset. It says believers are promised an inheritance, which is eternal life and citizenship in the kingdom of God. And then in 1 Peter, it says the believer's inheritance is described as an imperishable, unfading, and kept safe in heaven. The Bible teaches that believers are heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ through Jesus Christ. In the new covenant, Christians receive the blessings of God's family and eternal salvation. Regular meaning of the word inherit is to receive a property, titles, or genetic trait from an ancestor. Predecessor, it broadly covers receiving things by legal right, like a will or through biological transmissions. Okay, and then number 6. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Meaning for the word hunger is a metaphor for a desperate life, sustaining craving for God's righteousness. That's the biblical meaning. Just as a starving person has an all-consuming need for food and water, Jesus describes and believes necessary, passionate pursuit of spiritual values, wholeness and justice as a fundamental requirement for the soul. To hunger for righteousness means to have a driving passion for and a sincere deep longing to know God, obey His will, and to live a holy life. Webster Dictionary for hunger and thirst was intense physical drive for food and water, need for survival. And that reference was Isaiah 55:1-2. I lost my place here. Oh, here it is. Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Ye come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Okay, and on down to the next one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The regular meaning, or the biblical meaning for mercy, was deep, active compassion and covenant loyalty. It is one of the richest words in the Old Testament, representing God's steadfast love, covenant loyalty, and grace towards His people. It signifies love in motion, stepping in to realize the misery of others. Regular meaning of mercy out of the Webster Dictionary. Compassion or forbearance, showing especially to an offender or to someone subject to one's powers. Compassionate treatment of those in distress. And then on down to verse 8. Eight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The biblical meaning for pure in heart, we all know sitting in here that unless we confess our sins to Jesus, that we will not be pure in heart. But the Strong's meaning for pure in heart was generally conveying the ideas of being uniquitated, morally spotless, ceremonial clean and refined, pure as gold. In the New Testament, focuses on moral and ethic purity, often translated as chaste or holy. It signifies an innocence free from defilement. Literally translated as judged by sunlight, it refers to motives or actions that are completely clear and stand in the full light of God's approval. The dictionary meaning of pure in heart was free from anything that is different, inferior, or contaminating, unmixed with materials or elements. It generally describes something that is physical, untainted, morally faultless, or absolute in its nature. Number 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The Strong's meaning, it says, it means one who brings about peace, is peaceful, or work towards reconciliation. It calls believers to mirror the nature of God by promoting reconciliation, much like Jesus, who is described as the ultimate peacemaker. In the dictionary, the Webster dictionary meaning of peacemaking was a person who settles an argument or stops a fight. The reference from Matthew to that was Hebrews 12:14 and James 3:16. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. James 3:16, for where envying and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work. 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The biblical meaning of persecution was meaning of a relentless chase, pursuit, or harassment, often capturing the imaginary of a hunter tracking down pride to punish or conquer their convictions or penalize them for their faith. And then the Webster dictionary meaning of persecuted was to annoy or pester constantly by bothering her or harassing someone. And then this is the next one that, I mean, this really entreated me. Righteousness' sake, that was not found. That was not found in the Webster Dictionary. But the Strong's meaning of it was facing opposition, rejection, or mistreatment as a direct result of living according to God's standards. It refuses to chastening integrity, moral truth, and obedience to Christ, even when it costs you social standing, comfort, or popularity. Simply pursuing a devoted godly life will naturally expose the shortcomings of an unrighteous culture. As a result, your very present and moral standards may become offensive to others. And underneath it says the Webster Dictionary does not have a meaning for righteous sake. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so prosecuted they prophets which were before you. The Strong's meaning for revile was to castigate, vilify, reproach, or heap abusive insults upon someone. It describes a hostile verbal assault attended to demean, damage, or repetition, or strip someone of your status. The dictionary meaning of revile was to speak, or meaning it says to speak to or about someone or something in a very critical, insulting, or abusive way. The reference to Matthew 5:11 was Matthew 10:22 and 1 Peter 4:14. 1 Peter 4:14, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Matthew 10:22, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And then the word, I worked up the biblical meaning of the word blessed, which that is the first word of how many of them, of all of them verses. It says the Strong's meaning of the word blessed means experiencing divine favor, deep spiritual joy, and godly presence. Like I said, I believe that we were taught from little up to live these beatitudes basically without knowing where we stand with the Lord Jesus. And I believe casually, according to these dictionaries, you probably can somewhat do that to a certain extent. But if you have Christ in you, then the true meaning of blessed, then you can experience that. But the dictionary meaning of blessed is highly favored, enjoyed, happiness, prosperity. And then underneath it, it says, or favor of God. In closing, I will close with a verse in Malachi. It's a part of a verse. And what the Lord requires of us is to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. And then I was listening to a message last week, and this is a question I have to ask myself, and I'll just let it with Ewan's. It says, is Christ a part of your life, or is he your life? I hope that he was blessed, and I guess that's all I have. God bless you.